Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Sorry, I'm getting texts as they're coming in during the middle of my show. If you're texting me during the show, it means you're not listening to the show. Well, actually, I have gotten texts during the show and responses directly to the show. This had nothing to do with the show. We're clearly not friends because you're clearly not watching the show. Anyways, I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, the Adam Carriker Show. You like that one, did you,
Jake? I liked it better the other day when you said you you loved your birthday more than your kid's birthday.
Is that what funny. I said? I don't remember
well,
that.
You said it because you said like the Husker games are the most important days of your year, maybe other than your birthday, more important than your kid's birthday.
I don't remember saying that. That's hilarious. Do I have plausible? That wasn't recorded. Was that plausible deniability?
I think it was on record.
It's on record. All right. Delete. All right. We're going to go. What is it? Broken Matt Hardy? Like 10 people out there are going to get what I'm talking about, but he would delete things. Anyways, I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I, if you couldn't tell, have a whole lot of fun in the process. What you're going to hear? Husker sports, college football, sports in general. Loaded show. The fastest hour in radio is back. Do Husker fans, do they want Dylan Raiola to take more chances? This is not something that had really occurred to me until I started getting comments and questions sent my way quite a bit about Dylan taking more chances. And I was like, had kind of occurred to me, hadn't really occurred to me. There's obvious pluses and minuses to this. We're going to dive into that. You know what? What's that number, Jake? What's the text number?
402-464-5685.
Never changes, but text in. Do you want Dylan Raiola to take more chances? I have my response. Jake, I assume, has his response. We don't really meet up before the show, by the way. I send him clips. I send him the topics. And then we just dive into it and have a whole lot of fun. Do you want Dylan Raiola to take more chances? Yes or no? You can expand on that if you would like. All right. And we got a couple of clips here. Also, now this happened, what, Tuesday? We haven't had a show since Tuesday, so we haven't had a chance to talk about it. Fans DMing players in a frustrating, negative way. Henry Tutowski talked about how he's gotten some DMs from some fans. Basically, he doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to them. They weren't the most positive DMs. He kind of alluded to fans weren't happy with the offensive line's play. He said, you know what? I pay attention to my coaches. I pay attention to my teammates. And I don't take advice from people that I wouldn't trade places with. Hey, seems like a really good thought process. And frankly, I never heard the quote that he said at the end about not trading places. I didn't quote. I paraphrased what he said, but I was like, I love that. We're going to chat about that as well. Okay, we got a couple of clips. Here's what I want to do right off the top. I want to, you know what? Are we getting some comments, some feedback on the Dylan Raiola taking more chances thing there, Jake?
Not as of yet.
All right. Give people some time. Here's my take on it. Because after, you know, it kind of occurred to me, we didn't have a lot of yards per pass attempt last year. This year's a little bit better. Like Saturday was 8.1. That's not what you want. Also, it's 40 mile an hour wind, so that's got to be factored in as well. We know he has really good arm strength. In high school, the deep ball is one of his strengths, and it hasn't been something that's been put on display much since he arrived here. Now, last year, not a lot of separation from the wide receivers. There were times where, in the past couple games, where opposing defensive coordinators said, hey, you know this worked last year. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to blitz and go man-to-man across the board and see if they can beat the man. And there were times where we didn't beat it. And we needed to protect Dylan a little bit better as well. Maybe get rid of the ball a little bit quicker. But are the receivers open? But do we want Dylan to take more chances? There's pluses and minuses to this. The plus is the potential of bigger plays. We only have one receiver right now who's averaging more than more than 15 yards per reception. I believe it's Isaiah Hunter averaging around 17. Last time I looked, and this was pre-last Saturday, so I should update this, but the last time I looked, Dane Key was averaging around 8 yards per reception. We're at Kentucky, where they have had a god-awful offense, no quarterback that was would please any wide receiver in America, and he still averaged around 15 yards per reception for his first 3 years there. Hasn't quite had the same yards per reception average here. Not even close, about half. Okay, Ja'Cory Barney, he's a big play waiting to happen at all times. But again, as a team, our yards per reception and yards per pass attempt is not quite where you would like it to be. Now, okay, let's take some more chances downfield. Well, the obvious pluses to that is you gain more yards, more potential for big plays, maybe a long touchdown pass here or there. All right, that's great. What are the potential drawbacks to that? Well, more interceptions. All right, holding the ball longer. More sacks. Sack fumble. You know, Emmett, for all we've talked about the run game, Matt Rule said earlier this week, it was silly, the narrative that we can't run the ball. Did we talk about this earlier this week a little bit? The narrative about running the ball? Can't run it?
I don't know if we talked too much about it.
All right. When it comes to Emmett Johnson's stats purely, he's a good running back. One of the best in the Big Ten. When you look at the team as a whole, we're not averaging anywhere near the yards per rush, the yards per game that you want. Not even close. Now, sacks are factored into that. All right? I don't know how I feel about the sacks being factored into the rush yards. I kind of feel like the sacks should have their own category because somebody's like, well, they should come off the pass yards, but a ball was never thrown. So how can it come off the pass yard? I feel like it should be its own category, and it comes off the total yards, but maybe not the rush yards because then it's misleading. Topic for another day. We have like 15 topics for the offseason. Just start creating a list. Okay, Jake, just put that on the list.
All right.
Rules that needed to be changed, targeting. Fumbles through the back of the end zone. We did discuss that a little last year. We don't agree. But again, put that on the list. Topic for another day, a.k.a. something we're going to talk about and debate and argue about vehemently. I'll be right. In the offseason. Will I be right, Jake?
No, you'll be wrong.
Actually. I figured. I still want that deleted. I don't remember saying that at all. I probably did say it. I just don't remember it.
I thought it was hilarious. That's what I remember.
I have plausible deniability until you play it because it won't be deleted. But my point is simply this. There's obvious pluses, but the drawbacks are the potential negative plays because if he all of a sudden goes out and, you know, he's trying to throw the ball downfield a lot more and taking chances, and it pays off, that's great. But if he has three interceptions, everyone's going to be like, oh, he's not taking care of the ball. Look at that touchdown-interception ratio, and I'll be the one to – I'm big on touchdown-interception ratio. Huge. 2-1 is the bare minimum. 3-1 is the goal. If you're like 4-5-1, now we're talking really, really good quarterbacks. Because as a quarterback – all right. I was higher recruited as a quarterback than I was a defensive end. I had a big arm. I threw 95 in baseball as a pitcher. Short to intermediate accuracy was not necessarily my thing. Throwing the ball long was kind of my thing. But as a quarterback, I will tell you right now, the number one thing that was drilled into my head was move the chains, move the chains, move the chains. Get another first down, get another four plays. Move the chains, move the chains. So it's not about being conservative. It's about playing smart. I would not be upset if I saw 3-4 more passes thrown down the field on Saturday. The question is, how many of those times are we sacked? How many times are the guys open? Or are you just forcing it? So for me, I like that we're +6 in the turnover category right now. So I'm going to go back to last year. There is an absolute direct correlation to Nebraska's turnover margin and how bad it's been over recent years, and our win-loss column, and how many L's have been in the L column versus the W column. We were 5-1 halfway through last season. Dylan had a 9-touchdown-3-interception, 3-1 touchdown-interception ratio. He ended up with 13 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. So if I do basic math, what was that, 4 touchdowns and 8 interceptions the last 6 games? That's a 1-2 ratio. Look at what happened the second half of the season. Now, yes. We got to the bowl game. Yes, we won the bowl game. Phenomenal stuff. But we were 5-1 after 6 games, and we were 6-6 after 12, which means we went 1-5 until the bowl game. Also, the turnovers went through the roof. The turnover margin was not so great. You look at us right now, we're 4-1 +6 in the turnover category. Number 2 in the Big Ten, by the way. By the way, number 1 is the team we're playing on Saturday, which is Maryland. I want to say they're 3rd in the country. I could be wrong about that. Don't fact check me on that, but they're one of the best in the country. Number 1 in the Big Ten when it comes to turnover margin. We're number 2. The last time Nebraska had a positive turnover margin at the end of the season was 6 years ago. Just think about all the seasons in between. not only have there been seasons where we've lost more games than we've won, there's been seasons when we lost way more games than we won. We're talking a 2-to-1 loss to win ratio. So here's my point. He has the capability of throwing it long. He has the arm strength. He did it a lot in high school. His senior year, 34 touchdowns to one interception. You want to talk about a 34-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. Anybody will take that, and he could spin it down the field. Since he's gotten here, we have not seen that consistently when it comes to throwing the ball down the field. I've also noticed when we don't turn the ball over, we win more games. When we turn the ball over, we lose more games. It's just science. So here's how I see it. And I'll be honest with you, if you look at the tape on Saturday, I would say that that's probably the least, this is going to be terrible English, but I'm going to phrase it this way because I want to. It's the least good game that Dylan Raiola has played all year. Now, 40-mile-an-hour winds factor into that, but there were several times where there were guys open. Dane Key had zero catches, and he was open multiple times. When Dana Holgorsen said that was Dane Key's best game and he had zero receptions, you're like, what? What are you talking about? Like, what's in that cup of yours right there? Like, what's going on? Well, if you watch the film, he blocks the crap out of everybody. If you watch his routes, he's running them well, and he's open multiple times where he's just not hit. Here's what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to indict Dylan on that. A lot of that had to do with the more Dylan was hit, the more he was sacked, the less of the field he was seeing. Hey, let me tell you, that's a common theme. If you knock quarterbacks around, it's going to affect them physically and mentally. They're human beings. So my point is, if a guy's open, hit him. Now, if it's 3rd and 10, don't throw a 2-yard pass. Some of these things are obvious. But if it's 1st and 10, hit the guy who's open. If he's open and you complete a 4-yard pass, it's 2nd and 6. What if he actually gets a yard or 2 or 3 or makes a guy miss? Now it could be 2nd and 1. I'm all about taking, because this is what was bred into me despite my physical strengths. My physical strength was throwing the ball 80 yards. It was not the short to intermediate, a.k.a. being an accurate passing quarterback. That was not my thing, okay? But it was bred into me, move the chains, move the chains, move the chains. Get 4 more downs, get 4 more downs. Keep your defense off the field. Give your offense another opportunity. So if he takes more shots because more guys are open downfield and he's got the time to throw it, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. If we're doing it just to do it, I'm not on board, because that's when things go backwards in the turnover margin column, and that's when the L's start to stack up and the W's start to not stack up so much. That's my take on it. I don't want him to take more chances just for the sake of taking more chances. I want him to hit the wide receivers that are open. Now, if given the option, if there's a guy open for 5 yards and a guy open for 15, hit the guy that's open for 15. If there's that many guys open on every play, you're probably just playing a bad team. So you've got to go through your reads and you've got to hit. Hey, if your first read is open, wherever he's at, hit him. Holgorsen called a particular play. That guy's going to be open for a certain amount of distance for a reason, based on the down of distance, the yards you need, et cetera. So hit that guy. Go to your second read. Go to your third read. If it's not there, take off and run. Hopefully by then he's not already running for his life. By the way, did you know? I'm going to look this up. And I had to get clarification. I don't trust Pro Football Focus at all. Not when it comes to college anymore, by the way. But unless they just don't know how to operate a clock at all, okay, time to pressure data, and this is via True Media, Pro Football Focus, so take it with 14,000 grains of salt, the best average time to pressure allowed in all of FBS when it comes to offensive lines. In other words, how long your quarterback has to throw the ball. Number one is Colorado. Like, what? 4.57 seconds. Arizona State, Ball State, Michigan, USC, SMU, UNL Monroe, Kansas, Arkansas, Kentucky, Arizona. At 11, and they're tied with this school based out of Lincoln, Nebraska. And according to this, our quarterback is getting 4.12 seconds on average to throw the ball. Now, I have not sat here with a clock and done a stopwatch to every single time Dylan's thrown the ball. It is Pro Football Focus, so take it with a grain of salt. My point, hit whoever's open as soon as they're open. Going through your read progression. Read 1, read 2, read 3. Hey, if you're going past read 3, you ain't going to get to 4. Take off and run. You ain't got that long. But if, again, take that with a grain of salt, And then about 39,000 more grains of salt because it's Pro Football Focus and I lost all faith in them. But I'm gonna be willing to bet they can operate a stopwatch. He has over 4 seconds every time he throws the ball to throw the ball. First of all, do you believe that that's the accurate amount of time? And what's your take on all of this? And what do the people on the text line have to say, Jake?
Well, it's been sacked 12 times the last two games. There are times when he might hold on the ball too long, but I don't know. I mean, that just doesn't seem like what I've been watching. But, you know, again, I don't have any numbers to dispute it. So it is what it is there. I personally don't think that he necessarily needs to take, more chances. Now, if you're talking about, frankly, just throwing the ball downfield, maybe one or two times more a game, okay. But Nebraska's offense actually is doing pretty good with what Olgerson's goal was all along, which is kind of take what the defense gives you, do the simple stuff. Their scoring offense is number 11 in the nation. Their total offense is 30th in the nation. So right now, I mean, especially from the improvement year over year, I think they're doing pretty good. What you need to do is kind of limit those, limit sacks. I mean, we know what kind of hurts Nebraska's offense right now, but I wouldn't necessarily say that would be something that I would call for, especially like, again, maybe running a 9 route here and there. Okay. Might stall your offense. So that's why I say I'm not sure that might take away a down if you don't convert it. But as far as like, especially making more risky throws, trying to get the ball, get the ball out instead of getting sacked. I don't think that's the best idea. Now, at times, maybe situationally, again, fourth quarter, you need to, I get it. But for the most part, I think if you're talking about mid-second quarter, would I rather have him take a sack or force a throw in there? Probably rather have him take a sack.
What you wish for. Go ahead.
Think that is when you look at this last game and you talk about how well he played, maybe it was his worst game of the year. Is that interception? I mean, he was really kind of bailed out by Nebraska for the rest of the game. Now he helped, make the passes, but it's a lot of it was his wide receivers doing the work for him. On the screen that went there deep, but that interception. Remember, that was a one play drive. Maryland had the momentum, Michigan State had the momentum. They went down and scored off that interception, and they led after that. If Michigan State ended up winning that game, that would be the play we would all look back at. But because they won, Nebraska rebounded, it's pretty quiet on that front. But that's why I say, you tell me to be careful what I wish for. That's why I say be a little bit careful of what you wish for if you want him to take more chances.
So to be clear, I don't really want him to change anything. Just hit the guys that are open, which is easy for me to say. I haven't been sacked 12 times in the past 2 weeks, But if Dane Key's standing there wide open for the third time in the past quarter, throw him the ball. Don't hold on to it. And I'm not trying to get on Dylan. I think he's played really well. Like I said, Michigan State was his least good game. Again, improper English, but it's how I'm going to choose to say it. His least good game of the year so far. We have the fifth best passing offense in the country right now. So the old West Coast offense, Bill Walsh, the Niners, all those guys, it was all built on 4 and 5 yard routes. And then receivers doing this thing called yak. It can stand for two things, yards after catch or yards after contact if you're a running back. How about we do both? How about we take a 5 yard catch and make 7 or 8 or 15 or 20 or 50 yards or 7 or 8 again, yards out of it. So that's how I kind of look at it. Before we get to the text line, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors here, Mulberry Barbecue. It's the lunch hour. And as you know, we're sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now located with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, incredible size. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. All right, what's the text line got to say there, Jake?
Just a few thoughts from the text line here. And a pretty good point from 5162 says, with Akron and Houston Christian, I believe the number. 2188 says, no way is 4 seconds to throw the ball. That's just stupid. I think it's maybe 2 seconds. So I think it is a lot of it have to do with those two games.
Okay, there. That's fair. What do you think the number is taking those two games out? But here's the thing. Everybody in the country played an FCS team and played a lower level FBS team. So it's not like it's just us. It was annoying to me when I would talk about stats and people were like, well, we played Houston Christian and Akron. I was like, well, the numbers are what they are. We're not the only team that's played those teams. But now we have played two Big Ten teams. We have played, is Cincinnati ranked or just outside of being ranked?
At least I think they're just outside. They might be ranked one pool, I guess. I don't know for sure.
But two really good Power Four teams. By the way, I said Cincinnati's better than people realize. A dark horse Big 12 contender, and voila, here we are. So Cincinnati and Michigan are two very good football teams. So you got to factor that in. I still don't know that I believe 4.12, but I'm just saying we're not the only team who's played two teams like that. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, somebody else threw in, I think, a couple of games at the beginning of the season might be buffering those numbers. Brad said that. And if you kind of look back at it, too, 15 sacks on the season, we know 12, a lot of us know at least 12 in the last two games. The other three, that was Cincinnati. So Houston Christian and Akron did not get a sack on Dylan. So, again, it could help in with those stats there.
Well, in fairness, Cincinnati, as we know, they did not attack us. We remember the big concern after Cincinnati, can we have big plays? Are we capable of big plays? They didn't attack us a lot. In other words, they didn't blitz us a ton. And they sat back and kept everything in front. So even though Cincinnati's a good team, we've realistically only had two of our five opponents come after us with many blitzes. So even though Cincinnati's good, maybe that's, I don't want to put them in this, the Akron, Houston, Christian category as an overall whole. Don't do that. But what I'm saying to skewing the amount of time Dylan Raiola has to throw stats, maybe they skew it a little bit too.
Yeah, I can see
it's
that.
It's a good point, Jake.
Yeah. Corey Lincoln says throwing the ball away and not taking sacks, pocket awareness and taking a 5 to 10 yard scamper when it's there. If Dylan can improve in these elements, the sky's the limit.
I don't disagree. Good point.
And Todd Huskerbiker says, okay, how about time to throw for a completion versus time to throw for an incompletion / turnover? Well, those would certainly be different numbers there. And Bill Bennett says, I'm not saying TJ Lateef should start a game yet, but that would, but what would it hurt to put him in there for a series if Dylan is struggling with getting sacked?
Okay. Quick response. Cause this is not going to happen unless Dylan gets hurt, God forbid. So give a quick response. I'll give one. Cause I'm starting to see more and more of this as well. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, I mean, again, I think there, I don't completely disagree with the premise of the idea. Put a scrambler in there, see what he can do. You know, again, you're kind of maybe you put a lot of your marbles in the middle here with Dylan Raiola and in belief that he can be a great quarterback. And I think he's shown that he can be if you build with him, not take him out at times to think, you know, that might hurt his confidence, might get him to start to kind of look around. So as a program, that's where I would say, I mean, I've advocated for it. I think in the red zone, it would make some sense to get TJ Lateef in there, maybe kind of more as that kind of dual threat option. But I understand why you just don't want to rattle your team leader, your captain, your quarterback.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for a few reasons. It's not going to happen. He's getting paid $3 million that we know of. Now, we've been told it's probably more than that. The words we were given from On3 are at least $3 million that we know of. That's going to be factored in. It just is. You're spending 14.5 on your football team as a whole out of the 20.5 for your athletic department this year, by the way. So that's going to be factored in. He is the leader, as Jake said, of your team. He is the guy you've built the team around. That's going to be factored in. There probably is a little bit of how would he react to this type of situation? Now, to be clear, I actually really like Dylan. I think he's a good dude. Sometimes I think he enjoys the spotlight. And I'll tell you what, I've said all offseason, as long as winning comes along with that, nobody's going to have an issue with it. If you're not winning, people are going to come right back to it. And I've met a million guys who enjoy the spotlight, and it didn't matter to me. Were you going to help us win games? That's all I ever really cared about. But to me, the other thing that hasn't been talked about a ton, now we're going to give a fifth year of eligibility. Everyone expects it to be a fifth year of eligibility, all student athletes going forward. I don't know how this affects the red shirt directly, but if I'm Matt Rhule, I'm like, that's our guy right there. I don't want to take him off the field in Dylan Raiola. We got this guy right here. It's pretty exciting. I want to keep him a redshirt this year. He can play in four games, as we know. I want to keep him redshirt as much as possible. So there's 2 years of separation in eligibility. Number one, TJ's more likely to stay in the day and age of transfer portal NIL. Also, I want him to have as many years of eligibility to play for us whenever Dylan's gone. And so that's got to be factored in too. And what they're going to say is, we can just put Harburg back there if we want to do some sort of quarterback running play. So it's just not going to happen, barring an unfortunate injury, which hopefully does not happen. Okay, when we come back, we're actually going to play that clip from Holgorsen. All these sacks. He gives his thoughts why there's been so many sacks. Then current Husker players, or at least one that we know of, receiving DMs from fans that weren't the most pleasant in the world. We're going to play those two clips when we come back.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.